This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. There are all those pink ribbons and the thousands of pink T-shirts worn by breast cancer survivors and loved ones who walk for the cure in cities across the country. And last month, pink even made its way into professional sports. Pink shoes and goalpost padding on NFL fields to pink cars on the NASCAR circuit. All of it in the name of breast cancer awareness.
Our guest today says that even in a world awash in pink, there may be one thing that most women aren't aware of. He claims routine mammograms may do more harm than good, and that pushing women to get screened every year has had virtually no impact on improving breast cancer survival rates.
The response from across the medical field has ranged from concern to outrage, from the American Cancer Society, from major cancer treatment centers here and across the country. But this radical claim comes from a decidedly unradical place, a doctor and professor of medicine at the Dartmouth Institute for Health Policy and Clinical Practice. And his paper was published in the big daddy of medical journals, the New England Journal of Medicine. Dr. Gil Welch is a co-author of the study, Mammography Screening for Breast Cancer, and he joins us now from Hanover, New Hampshire. Dr. Welch, welcome to Radio Boston.
Well, thank you so much for having me on the program.
It's a pleasure to have you. Let me first ask you, your underlying claim, if I'm summarizing it correctly, is that you looked over time at breast cancer rates, survival rates, and the effect that routine mammography might have on those. And you've essentially said that it's made little to no difference having women over the age of 40 get mammograms every year. Why?
Well, let me first tell you what we're not talking about, because I think it's very important for your listeners to know that we're not talking about diagnostic mammography. That's when a woman becomes aware of a breast lump and then she goes in and her doctor orders a mammogram to see if that lump is something to worry about. We all agree diagnostic mammograms are important. What we're talking about is screening mammography. That's where women are invited. Women who feel well, have no reason to believe anything's wrong, are invited or coerced or encouraged strongly to come in regularly to be examined.
This is something that's very familiar to most women over 40. It's recommended that they have a mammogram every year.
And I just want to be clear, we're not talking about what to do if you have a new lump, which we think you should get a mammogram. So what we were trying to do is just to see how well mammography worked in terms of basic screening principles. And for a screening test to work, it must not only find more early stage cancers, it must also cause fewer late stage cancers to be found. That is, it must find those late stage cancers earlier in time.
I mean, this is the
demonstrating its ability. That's the basic premise of screening.
Exactly. So if the earlier you screen and the more you screen, you catch cancers earlier such that long-term survival rates should go up.
Not survival rates. That in the long term, you should have less new cases of late stage cancer.
Got it.
Because you've moved them forward in time. But instead, what we saw is indeed when screening mammography was introduced in the late 70s and early 80s, you see a dramatic increase in early stage cancers, a twofold increase in early stage cancers. But you didn't see much compensatory decrease in late stage cancers. So you have a tremendous imbalance, a lot more extra cases of early stage cancer and very little change in late stage cancer. And that imbalance leads to two conclusions. First, mammography is sort of failing the first prerequisite of a screening test, which means it can't affect mortality much if it's not changing the amount of late stage disease. And second, there's a tremendous amount of overdiagnosis, the detection of cancers that will ultimately never matter to women.
Okay, so let me ask you about that. Because
Sure. How
can we know? If a cancer, a lump that is not a lump necessarily, but something that is detected in an early mammogram, how can we know for sure either way that will or will not end up becoming life-threatening metastatic cancer?
Absolutely. At the individual level, we don't know. But what we can see at the population level is all the extra cancer being diagnosed. And remember, the whole idea of a cancer control program is to lower the amount of cancer burden. And ironically, this test actually seems to increase it. It tells more women that they have cancer. And I know this is a very unusual kind of way to think about cancer, because we're all taught to think about cancer as something, once it's detected, if it's not treated, it will go on and invariably grow to kill people. But as we've started to look for earlier and earlier forms of cancer, we realize that there's a whole nother category of cancer. Cells that meet this pathologic definition of abnormality and can be labeled cancer, but in fact will never grow to cause the patient's problems. Mm. That problem is called overdiagnosis. And we really were introduced to it in the context of prostate cancer. And I think now a lot of people are familiar with that general problem in prostate cancer, that many men will develop prostate cancer yet not die from it. We're now recognizing the same problem exists in breast cancer.
So let me ask you a question about this. I understand that, yes, there seems to be a growing amount of medical evidence, as you were pointing to, that says that there are certain women who have abnormalities in their breasts that may not end up being a fatal cancer. But isn't that exactly what screening and mammography is supposed to allow, a process to begin, that if you find an anomalous image in the mammogram, that you then go on and take the next steps to determine whether or not it could be, it could be a woman's worst nightmare?
Well, the problem is that those next steps lead to a lot of extra cancer diagnoses that would never otherwise have occurred. And that's the problem of overdiagnosis. Those are women who go on to receive lumpectomy, mastectomy, radiation, and or chemotherapy for an abnormality that was never going to bother them. Mm. So now we have a much more difficult kind of decision for women to make. I think we've been promoting this test, of course, aggressively for years, and this general sense is, of course, you want to have this test. It can only help you. But the truth is, these screening tests have benefits and harms. And now it looks like the benefit of mammography is actually much smaller than we thought. And the harms are actually much larger than we thought.
Dr. Wells, let me ask you, I understand what you say when you mean that on a population level, this is the pattern that you're now saying has emerged. But a population is made up of individual women.
And, that's right.
And if individual women and current medical science can't tell us this abnormality that's come up on your mammogram may or may not end up being fatal cancer, isn't some form of treatment, whether it be lumpectomy, whether it be chemo, whether it be radiation, isn't taking that chance the price that we pay to be sure that everyone who needs treatment actually gets it?
Well, actually, that's a perfectly reasonable question to ask the patient at that point. And just as it's beginning to happen in prostate cancer, do you want to watch this or do you want it to be immediately intervened on? That's a very open question. I'm actually trying to move people back one step, mm-hmm. and ask the question, do you want to be involved in a strategy that's looking hard for something to be wrong, knowing that there's side effects to that strategy? And I don't think there's one right answer. I'm not pretending there's one right answer to that. But I do feel it's very important that we tell women the truth. And I think for the last 20, 30 years, we've sort of systematically exaggerated the benefits of screening mammography, and we've downplayed, or worse yet, we've ignored its harms.
Mm-hmm. I'm speaking with Dr. Gil Welch. He is a doctor and professor of medicine at the Dartmouth Institute for Health Policy and Clinical Practice. He's co-author of a new study in the New England Journal of Medicine, a new paper, I should say, called Mammography Screening for Breast Cancer, in which he and his co-author suggest that routine mammograms may end up doing more harm than good. So, listeners, what do you think? When you wonder, or do you wonder, if annual mammograms are leading to an overdiagnosis of breast cancer? Or have you or a loved one received an early diagnosis and were grateful for it? And what about that bigger question that Dr. Welch is asking about how we diagnose and then treat breast cancer? Men are facing a similar question with prostate cancer screening. So what does this latest controversy mean for women's health? Call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. You can also comment on Facebook and Twitter at Radio Boston. Dr. Welch, if you'll just stand by for a moment, I'd like to bring a couple more people into this conversation. And they are Dr. Otis Brawley. He is the chief medical officer for the American Cancer Society. And he's also a professor of oncology, medicine, and epidemiology at Emory University. He joins us today from Atlanta. Dr. Brawley, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you for having me.
And also with us is Judy Norsegian. She's executive director of Our Bodies, Ourselves. It's the organization famous, of course, for the landmark book of the same name. She joins us today from Watertown. Judy Norsegian, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Pleasure to join you.
So, Dr. Brawley, let me start with you. The American Cancer Society has come out saying that you have some concerns about Dr. Welch's assertions and findings. What are your concerns?
Well, first off, there is such a thing as overdiagnosis, and Dr. Welch does a service by mentioning that and by getting us to start mentioning that. And now hear me through. While we have unfortunately over-promoted mammography, we have promised more than mammography can actually give us, it is still my belief that mammography is beneficial. I have 8 prospective randomized studies that tell me that if I screen women, I decrease relative risk of death by 15% to 35%, depending upon age. I think those 8 studies are much more powerful than an echologic study that demonstrates that there is some overdiagnosis. I'm admitting to you that we do cure some women who do not need to be cured of their cancer. But at the same time, we've got evidence that we cure some people who do need to be cured of their cancer.
Hmm. So what do you make of what Dr. Welch was saying earlier, that he thinks that women, again, this is his assertion, need to be told, as he says, the truth about the relative risks of mammography?
You know, one of my concerns for a long time has been the American Cancer Society recommends annual mammography beginning at the age of 40 in our first paragraph. And our second paragraph is women should be told of the limitations of mammography, the fact that we will miss some cancers that we wish we had found. We will find some cancers that we wish we hadn't found. Very frequently, people pick up on that first paragraph about what we recommend. Very rarely do people talk about the limitations. I think it's important that we talk about it in a very balanced way, and women should have information and should be allowed to make a choice, understanding all the pros and the cons.
Mm. Well, on that note, Judy Norsegian, let me bring you in here. You and your organization have been the voice of women being in the know about their bodies for decades now. What's your reaction to the study?
Well, first of all, we've been immersed in this controversy a while, and when we did the new 2011 edition of Our Bodies, Ourselves, a section on mammography, and in particular screening mammography, not diagnostic mammography, about which Dr. Welch so rightly pointed out we don't have disagreement, it was very difficult, and we had folks at the ACS and folks from the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force and others weighing in on the language of that text, and everyone ultimately signed off. One of our challenges is that we live in a world where a lot of commercial interests seem hell-bent on promoting mammography, over-promoting mammography, and there's even a documentary called Pink Ribbons, Inc. that underscores some of this. So Dr. Welch's points are so well taken. We need to bring balance to this discussion, and that we need to really make sure that women understand that screening mammography is not about prevention, it is about screening and detection. And not only many women don't understand this, but many policymakers don't. It's why we recently started the Educate Congress campaign, whereby every member of Congress is going to get a copy of this new edition of Our Bodies, Ourselves, because many of them misunderstood what is going on here. And we believe women are smart enough to understand the complexity of the issue here, to recognize that these more lethal cancers, the ones that are life-threatening, you can't detect which ones they are early on, and some women ultimately want to do screening because they want that minimal small benefit. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Brawley just mentioned relative risk, but if you, relative benefits and risk. But if you look at the absolute benefits, you're looking at pretty small figures. And we think women are the right ones to decide which direction they want to go. I think it's rational to take either approach. But for women to be really browbeaten into having a routine mammography purely for screening does not make sense. What makes sense is giving women the very balanced information that Dr. Welch just presented and saying, what do you want to do with this?
Okay, so let me, there's a lot going on here. And I have to say, Judy, let me get just let me ask you quickly, and then Dr. Welch, I'm going to turn back to you.
Thank you.
Browbeaten? I mean, I understand that a lot of people might feel that way, but the idea is screening ends up leading to earlier detection, which could be good for your health.
Well, it's very interesting because that's how women have described it to me. They have said, I've gone in and asked for information, and then subsequently they actually read things like this study and some of the other materials that have come out, and they've looked carefully at it, and they said, you know, it's not that simple. And for me, and given my philosophy, I actually would be in that group of people that Dr. Welch mentioned who would rather not go down the path of having screening, which is going to over-detect. There'll be inevitably over-treatment that could include lumpectomies, radiation, and chemotherapy that was really unnecessary. Mm-hmm. And there are so many women who'll be in that category to save a life. I mean, it's something like following 2,500 women for 10 years, and then you might get one life saved.
Yeah, I take your point. I also note that last year in 2011, across the United States, 39,500 women ended up dying of breast cancer well.
But Judy, if I may,
no offense here, but I want to bring Dr. Welch and Dr. Brawley back in here. Dr. Welch, go ahead.
Yeah, let me say a couple things. First, there is good news here. And everybody should know the good news. The good news is the death rate from breast cancer is falling. It's fallen dramatically. That's good news. We believe our data show that that effect is largely about better treatment, not earlier detection. And our treatments really are much, much better than they were 30 years ago. Ironically, and Dr. Brawley, who has just been such a breath of fresh air at the American Cancer Society, I'm just so happy he's there. But Dr. Brawley mentions our database for mammography, and he's absolutely right. We have 8 randomized trials of mammography, but they're now all almost 30 years old. They're from an old treatment period, and ironically, the better treatment gets, the less important early detection becomes, the less important screening becomes. Now, why do I say that? Well, you think about pneumonia. You know, generally, doctors can treat pneumonia. We don't screen for pneumonia. Why? Because we can treat it when it occurs. And the same thing's beginning to happen.
But I read that in your New York Times editorial op-ed that you wrote. But on the flip side, the very same argument that you make about over-treatment of cancer, everyone who gets pneumonia, who walks into a hospital, gets treated. We don't wait to see if it'll be the type that kills you.
I am not arguing that we wait for treatment. The question is whether we look hard at well people, invite them in, persuade them to come in for regular investigations to look hard to see if something is wrong. Mm-hmm. We don't do that for pneumonia. We don't invite people off the street to come and ask, do you have pneumonia? No, we don't do that. We do it in breast cancer. And I'm not saying we shouldn't do it. I'm just saying we ought to tell both sides of the story. This is a close call.
Got it.
And I'd like women who feel good about getting regular mammograms to continue to feel good about it. But I'd also like women who never felt good about it, who feel their physicians are pressuring in that, to feel equally good about not having the test.
We actually have a lot of women who are calling in, men and women who want to join us, and I want to bring them into the conversation in a moment. But Dr. Brawley, I'm sure you have a response to everything you've just heard.
Oh, absolutely. Well, first, thanks for the compliment. But there's been a 34% decrease in risk of death from breast cancer over the last 20 years, and that's due to a combination of screening, awareness where people say, what is this in my breast, and go get the diagnostic examination, as well as improvements in treatment. I personally think that improvements in treatment have been incredibly important, but I think mammography has added part to that decline. Dr. Welch has actually done us important service because he's helping to identify a scientific question. We actually need to develop genomic tests so that we can say, Mrs. Smith, you have a small breast cancer, but it's the kind that's never going to kill you, so we're going to watch it. Mrs. Jones, you have a small breast cancer, and if we don't treat it, it's going to kill you, so we're going to treat you. Those are ultimately scientific questions that need to be addressed, but you need to realize that it's a legitimate question before you can start addressing.
Well, we've got a lot of listeners who want to have their say in this, and let me start with a tweet from Kathy Catalano Scott. She tweets, I commend your guest. She says, there is a cancer industry in this country. I will never have a routine mammogram. That's a tweet from Kathy Catalano Scott. Let's go to Medford, where Patricia is calling. You're on the air, Patricia.
Hi, I'm 56 years old. I've had a mammogram every single year since I was 40, so 16 mammograms. And I was diagnosed this year with a stage 3, grade 3 breast cancer, which is aggressive, and I had two enormous tumors in one breast, and none of the mammograms that I had at a major Boston hospital picked up anything until this year, but I've had the cancer for probably, based on the size of the tumors, 3 or 4 years. So I very much question the validity of having a screening every single year when it gives you a false sense of security, because I thought, you know, I'm fine.
Patricia,
I have my mammogram, I'm fine.
Patricia, hang on for a second. Don't hang up. Stay on the line. Dr. Brawley, what's your response to Patricia? She has, you know, did the screening, but she says she still has stage 3 cancer.
Yeah, remember early on I said we need to tell people about the limitations of mammography, and one of the limitations is it only finds 80% of the cancers that are there. We can actually at times even feel a tumor in a woman's breast, do a mammogram, and it can't be seen by the mammography. And it's a combination of how much density the woman has in her breast as well as how much density there actually is in the tumor. Mammography is by no means perfect. However, as I said earlier, I've got 8 clinical trials that tell me that if I take a group of women and screen them every year over 10 years, women, especially women in their 50s and 60s, if I take a group of women and screen them and compare them to an age-matched group of women who are not screened, I will have less women dead from breast cancer at the end of that 10 years.
Mm. Patricia, go ahead.
Magna, could I add a point here?
Oh, is this Judy?
Yeah, just a quick point.
Actually, Judy, let me just turn back to the caller, Patricia, and then I'll absolutely jump back to you. Patricia, but did you hear what Dr. Brawley said? And I wonder what your response is to that, being someone who has breast cancer now.
You know, it's difficult for me to respond to that because I'm very emotionally involved in it. But
sure.
I just don't know. I don't know what the answer is. I feel that people, absolutely women, need to know the limitations of it, because most women are shocked and they think I did something wrong. They're like, well, did you have a lump and ignore it? I'm like, no, even after I was diagnosed, even my breast surgeon could not feel a lump. Huh. And the tumors were huge. So you just have to know the limitations of it, and that is not, I think, not talked about enough.
Patricia,
very quickly, if I can.
Well, let me just thank. I just want to thank Patricia for calling, Patricia, and thank you for sharing your story. And we wish you all the very
best
of luck.
Yeah. Yes.
But actually, I did promise Judy Norsegian to bring her back in here. Judy, go ahead.
I just want to say that, you know, this is very good that Dr. Brawley made that point. If we really understand the limits of all screening procedures, then we do better with what happens, and we're not as shocked when something like this happens and a lump is missed, because we understand about dense breasts and all of that. But there's a group of people, Dr. Susan Love is among them, who would like to see less emphasis on screening, because we spend so many millions and millions of dollars there, and more focus on cancer prevention and treatment for the most aggressive cancers. We've just been talking about how we need biological markers. That would be great if we could figure out which of these cancers are going to progress to become lethal ultimately. If we could go after them, we'd do much better. We're already doing better with treatments. But the issue here is we've got limited resources, and is spending this much money on routine mammographic screening the best way to spend the money that could be maybe go in another direction? And this is worth a public debate, I think.
Dr. Welch, did you want to jump in there earlier?
There are all sorts of things I'd like to jump in on. But I would like to say that even if we had all the money in the world, I think this is still a legitimate question of what people want to do. And I think women in the exact same situation can look at the data and come to different conclusions and rationally make different decisions. Mm. My real objection is that we've oversold this test so much, and now we're measuring doctors on it. It's become a common way we sort of make a judgment about the quality of our healthcare system, and quite frankly, I think that's sad. First, it's a little bit of an insult to physicians. There are other things we do that are more important, but more importantly, it leads us to feel that we have to make our patients come in for mammograms.
But on the other hand, I've had conversations about the pressures that physicians face on this program, and also with friends of mine who are physicians, and they all tell me it's very hard to resist using a diagnostic tool that's there that could help you, forego future suffering in your patients. I mean, that's just like also a challenge that they face as physicians.
But remember, if I can add on, I'll just hear.
Yeah. Sure,
I was just going to say there's two suffering on both sides here. Let's be clear. There's suffering on both sides.
Mm. Dr. Brawley, go ahead.
Yeah. First, thanks to the caller for calling in. She really made a contribution. If people really realized the limitations of mammography and the limitations that we currently have, there would actually be more support for developing better diagnostics and better screening tests. And unfortunately, I think that we've come to be so satisfied with mammography that there's very little going on to develop better things than mammography.
Mm. There's a lot of callers who want to join us, so let's roll through a bunch of them. Robin's calling from Newton. You're on the air, Robin.
Yes. Hi. Thank you. This is a very important program and a very, very difficult topic, and I appreciate your having it. I also agree with what the doctor just said about finding other tools for better diagnoses and also for better treatment. I just have to say I had a very different experience than the last caller. About 10 years ago, when I was in my late 40s, multiple calcifications were found on a mammogram. I was told to come back in 6 months. I waited 9 because that's who I am. I went back in 9 months, was told that the calcifications had multiplied and I should have further invasive diagnostic testing. That is not somebody who I am. I sat down with the surgeon after doing a bunch of my own research, and basically and quickly, I asked if I would be putting my life in danger if I did not have this test. She said no. She recommended I come back in 6 months for another mammogram, and then in 6 months again, and if the calcifications had not multiplied, then I was out of the woods.
So, Robin, may I ask what happened?
Yes. Well, I went back in 6 months. Well, first of all, I actually went to another hospital and saw another doctor in 6 months, 6 months later. And basically she said to me, these are benign calcifications. Mm-hmm. There's no reason for you to have.
And are you healthy? Was that right? Are you healthy?
10 years later, I am healthy. I have absolutely no breast cancer. And I still have calcifications.
Robin, thank you so much for your call and sharing that story. I want to move to another caller as well. Cindy is calling from Providence. You're on the air, Cindy.
Hi, thank you. Thank you all for having this conversation. It is an incredibly important conversation to have. I want to be sure that the context of the conversation includes DCIS. And
sure.
My statements after that will depend on the answer to that.
Okay, and by DCIS, you mean ductal carcinoma in situ. It's a class of abnormality, right? Okay.
That's correct.
So stay with us, Cindy, for a second. We don't have a ton of time, but I just want, Dr. Welch, does your study include that class of abnormality?
Absolutely. About half of the early stage disease increase it reflects the ductal carcinoma in situ, that earliest stage of breast cancer. And that segues very nicely to the caller just before, where the microcalcifications are what usually triggers the biopsy that leads to a DCIS diagnosis.
Okay.
And here's a case where we're looking at things that are literally pixels in size on the mammogram. They're 0.02 centimeters in size, and they're triggering about a third of our biopsies in this country.
Let me go back to Cindy. So I'm sorry about that, Dr. Welch, but let me go back to Cindy. So I imagine that this is something that you experience. What happened?
I was diagnosed. I had a routine mammogram this summer. Calcifications were found. Had a biopsy. They were cancerous. I did not opt out of the biopsy as your previous caller did. Once a doctor says cancer to you,
sure.
Something happens in your brain it's a difficult slog from then on. But I was able, I did succumb to agreeing to the surgery. It seems to my mind that they got all of the calcifications out with the biopsy because the tissue sample showed nothing.
Mm-hmm.
From the surgery. I did it again, as your previous caller said, a bunch of research on my own, which was not easy.
I hope you forgive me, but I'm looking at a clock here that's bearing down on me, and I'm very sorry. But thank you so much for calling. We've literally just got about a minute and a half left, and I want to let the last question come from an online listener. Cindy CB is writing on RadioBoston.org. If mammography is so inefficient, then please tell us what the alternative screening method should be. So, Dr. Brawley, let me actually start with you. Do you have a quick answer to that? What should women do upon hearing this news?
Well, again, I still think that women age 40 and above should get annual mammography and try to get high-quality screening, but realize it does have limitations. It will miss cancers that we wish it had found. It will find cancers that we wish that we had not found. I think women need to be aware of their breasts. This is not monthly breast self-examination, but this is being aware of your breasts. And if there's any change that happens from day to day, you need to go to a physician and insist that that physician evaluate it. And that would involve a diagnostic mammogram. I think that some of the prevention things, maintaining a normal body weight, exercising, these things actually can help to decrease a woman's risk of breast cancer and improve her outcome if she's ever diagnosed with breast cancer. Until we have a better test, that's the best I can do. Support research to find a better test.
Well, on that note, I'm afraid I've run out of time on this conversation, and I wish we could do more because it's obviously a big one, but I'm very grateful to all my guests for joining us today. Dr. Otis Brawley, Chief Medical Officer at the American Cancer Society, speaking to us from Atlanta. Thank you so much. And Judy Norsegian, Executive Director of Our Bodies Ourselves, thank you as well.
Pleasure.
And Dr. Gil Welch, author, co-author of the new paper, Mammography Screening for Breast Cancer. It was published in the New England Journal of Medicine, joining us today from Hanover, New Hampshire. Dr. Welch, thank you so much for getting this conversation going.
Thanks for having me.
And listeners, continue the conversation at radioboston.org. Let us know what you think, and you can also, while you're there, find a link to Dr. Welch's original paper. Stay with us because we're going to turn now to music, and former Allman Brothers slide guitarist Derek Trucks talks about his new band Tedeschi Trucks. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty with Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.